Well, we've got Giants-Dodgers game four of this four-game series, Drew Smyly and Urias. And I appreciate everyone being with us tonight. It's the ESPN game. And after the game, of course, Bill Lasky will be hosting our post-game show. If you're up in the Yountville area, that Priest Ranch Wine Tasting Room is there. The wines at Priest Ranch are absolutely the best. Check it out. And please mention my name when you go up there. The other thing I always like to mention, Bridge Bank. And the great job Fred Voss is doing, and Sheetal Cordova, and Jesse Garcia, and Mike Letterman, and everyone else. They can help you with all the entanglements of government, as well as being a great banker here in the Bay Area. So Bridge Bank, a member of the FDIC, and the Western Alliance Bank family. Now, we are joined by the host of the Giants postgame show. He had his first last night, and he got a victory, and that is Bill Lasky. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. How are you doing this afternoon? The evening game started at 7:08, so, of course, the postgame will be later on tonight, but I'll be fired up to get my second one done as I did my first one yesterday.
Yeah, very good. First of all, I want to say this about Rachel Robinson, and I'm just so glad that Raf could go in the archives and find that interview we did with her way back in before 2000. But 98 years old, and every word she uttered in that interview is applicable to today. And I don't know if you got to hear it, but I just want to thank Raf again for pulling that out.
Yeah, I tell you what, Marty, anything with Mrs. Robinson coming out, I mean, she's a class act, just like Jackie was, and some of the things that she says, it's so true in the modern day as compared to in the past when Jackie was going through a lot of the problems he had in baseball. But again, it's just a class act by her and some of the things, and that's a great interview you had.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Raf said, well, is it one of your best? I think it may be my best. Because it meant so much to me to do it, and just every word she said is special, and it's forever. So, yeah, I'm glad to say that again. I was moved by listening to it again today. Hey, Bill, so how'd it go last night? What was the postgame like for you last night?
Well, it was good, Marty. I had a good conversation with some callers, and everybody was excited for the win, and I think as you brought in the pregame today, I think it was a well-needed win for these young players as well as some of the veterans. And just to give them a little confidence in that dugout and confidence with the at-bats, you joined me for a little bit yesterday. I think we both saw different at-bats, different quality at-bats, taking counts deep in the count. And, of course, scoring in that first inning, I always believe that's such a big run for a young pitcher like Webb, and it worked out for a favor.
Well, you did a great scouting report, as you always do, even when you're on Comcast and just coming on the air on the TV side, on the pitching matchup. So let's talk about Drew Smyly. Now, the numbers from last year, Bill, they're almost fantasy camp numbers. They're not very pretty. Not very pretty,
no.
but he did throw the inning the other day. So tell us about Drew Smyly.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, he didn't pitch against the Dodgers last year. So, really, I was looking at players that faced him, and really the only one that came up was Betts. Mookie Betts, 3-for-20 off of him. And, again, the first time around is always one of his hard times. So, he's going to have to get out there and complement all his pitches. And, of course, he throws fastball, curveball, cutter, and the curveball is an off-speed pitch. I love how he commands the inside corner. That one inning he threw against the Dodgers, I thought he threw the ball real well. Uses the cutter on both sides of the plate. I like that from that point. It's a couple miles an hour shorter than his fastball. His curveball, like I said, is an off-speed. So I'm looking for him to get ahead of these hitters. That's what he has to do to complement the opposition against the cutter and the changeup. So looking for more fastball command out of him. Again, these guys really haven't seen him that much. I also look at the mound he's thrown off of. Dodger Stadium is a high mound, and when you have that, it complements the curveball, and I like that from that side on him. We saw that on a couple pitches that Webb threw yesterday. The curveball really snapped and got out of the zone. So I'm looking for Smyly to do that a little bit better today. And you know, the lineups came out, and pretty much the same thing with Betts leading off. Muncy Turner, And I like what Carey Crawley said. Turner is just really hot right now. So that's the guy I'm circling on this lineup card to stay away from. Hit a couple balls down the right field line yesterday. A ton of doubles so far for him. But that's the guy I would stay away from if I'm Smiley today.
Okay, good point. Bill Lasky with us, 32 home runs, and I keep looking at the number, and I say it can't be right. It must be his lifetime. 32 home runs given up by Smiley last year in 114 innings, 20 to righties and 12 to lefties. So we'll see, but you're right. It looks like he's tightened it up a little bit, and they haven't seen much of him. By the way, Ron Wotus will be back with us for his second segment, and that'll be in our about 5:40 or so when Adam Copeland joins us in our Giants pregame. So there is a second segment coming up with Woe at that point. Now, what about Urias? You know, he's 23, Bill, and it seems like we've seen the guy for 10 years. He looks like he when he first came up, he was, you know, a little Fernando-looking like. But, you know, he makes you chase his pitch. That's what I sort of take when I think about him.
He sure does, Marty. And one of the things with David Price out of the rotation, he's going to be a mainstay. So he's going to be in that rotation. You know, he keeps talking about I'm motivated this year. Of course, last year he had some problems away from the ballpark. And now he's got a clear mind. But as you said, 23 years old, he can bring in about 97, 98 with that fastball. He elevates the fastball very well. And then he's got the slider and curveball. Slider probably in the mid-80s, and he's got the curveball off speed, but he's back throwing a changeup. And that was one of the things he talked about this spring, that last year he didn't throw many changeups, and he's throwing a little bit more. So that's another pitch that in his arsenal, when you're throwing 97, 98, and you're throwing a nice changeup, it is a complementary pitch to that fastball. One of the big things I like about him, he's got a fantastic move to first base. One of the best pickoffs in the National League, so be aware of that. The Giants, again, going a lot of right-handers. I'm glad to see Hunter Pence is in there today. His hand looks like it may have been bruised, but glad he's in the back. And the only one that I worry about is Slater. And in a postgame, I found out that you know he had a hip problem, a little bruise. So maybe getting the day off today with tomorrow off, maybe give him 2 days off, will help him get better.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from Kapler today, but before the end of the show, Mark Sanchez will be on with us. Mark W. Sanchez later on the show should give us another report on Austin Slater. And I'll tell you the one thing I remember about Urias, and you tell me if it was poor sportsmanship, but it's the last game of the year. The Dodgers have wrapped everything up easily, and it's Hunter Pence's last at-bat as a Giant. And now, who knew if he would play the next year, which he did. He played great in Texas, and now he's back, and, you know, he's back again. But this was going to be his last at-bat as a Giant. It was at Oracle Park. It was the last game of the season, and it's Urias against Hunter Pence. The place is screaming and on their feet, and it goes 3-2, and he throws Hunter Pence a 3-2 changeup. And I said to myself, come on. You know,
well,
please.
All I can say, Marty, he's young still. I mean, sometimes you got to go with the age thing. And, you know, he's 23 this year. Again, 21 years old. He's looking to get the out. He's not looking for all the motivation at Hunter Pence on the other side with the home team screaming. But, you know, it's just sometimes you just shake your head as you did there, and I do too. You just got to look at the youth and the inexperienced part of it, and he should have just challenged him with a fastball.
Yeah.
It's just like when pitchers against pitchers, hey, I know you can hit, and I'm going to throw you a fastball. You're going to give me one back. That's how it always was back in the 80s when I played. Of course, we don't see that now with the DH, but you're absolutely right. Sometimes like that, you just got to give in and say, hey, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to give you your best. You hit it out the park. I tip my hat to you, and that's
exactly
what he should have done, but he didn't.
Yeah. Exactly. And, boy, I remember doing the post-game show that day, and I remember what I said about it, and I still haven't gotten over it. I really haven't. I've not gotten over it. You know, I was thinking about Dodger Stadium, and, of course, Woe will be back with us for a second segment, as I said, around 5:40 or so when Adam joins us. But Dodger Stadium, even if it's quiet – and you have the cutouts and all that. There's something about Dodger Stadium playing there. Did you ever get used to it, or did it have that aura to you, Giants-Dodgers, every time you walked in there?
Yeah, it was always that rivalry. But I tell you what, Marty, one of the nicest mounds you could pitch off of, and as you know, sinker slider. Anytime you have a high mound, you get more movement on those pitches. And I just loved going on the mound and looking straight up all the way up to that third deck and see people all the way up there with the Dodger sign up there. It is a beautiful ballpark to pitch in. Sometimes the ball carries, but that has to be one of the nicest mounds in the National League, and I just love throwing off of it. And, of course, the one in the bullpen's flat as hell, and you get on that one, and it's high as hell. So, you know, they play your mind game of, you know, we're going to change the direction of your pitches when you're warming up. That happens in a lot of ballparks. But I tell you what a gorgeous ballpark to play baseball in.
Yeah. When Ron Wotison, his first segment, was sitting out there, and I just could get that feel of he really was enjoying sitting there in L.A. It was a beautiful day in L.A., and, you know, obviously there's no one in the ballpark, and there's something about being in there that's just very, very peaceful until you put 54,000 in there screaming that they hate you. You know, you go that way. Hey, let me ask you about Heinemann, because he bounces around behind the plate, and they commented on even on the broadcast yesterday, and Dwayne said it or someone, that, you know, the bouncing around behind the plate, he didn't catch the ball cleanly and maybe cost his pitcher a couple of strikes. Did you feel that at all?
Yeah, I agree with him, and I was saying that a little bit on a post-game show about Heinemann. He doesn't frame the pitch. He moves, and when you move, the glove gets it moves with it, and sometimes the umpires, when you frame that pitch, you can bring that low pitch up to the knees by just bringing it up a little bit. Buster Posey was one of the best at that, and he worked at it. Now you're talking Heinemann, first time in the big leagues. He's trying to get to know his pitchers, but I agreed with Kipe once he was talking about that on air yesterday that he does move the glove too much. He just needs to freeze that glove and frame it a little closer. Those are probably things that they're going to work on him with, but I'm very pleased with him behind the plate. He really works with the pitchers well. He uses a lot of their pitches. Yesterday, the only question I had with Webb is he was firing good fastballs, and all of a sudden they went breaking ball and off speed, and I wanted him to come back and throw 95, 96 because they really weren't, you know, barreling him up. But different aspects of the game, different ideas. But he's out there helping the pitchers, and that's one big thing without Buster back there. They have to rely on these new catchers. They have to rely on a little more confidence with them, and I think Heinemann's going to get that chance now. Hopefully he'll get in there a lot more than Brantley and give him a chance to catch these starters and get a flow of rhythm with these guys.
Well, they got a new catcher, Chad Herman. He's going to be in Sacramento on Tuesday. And then, of course, the elephant in the room is still there, and that's Joey Bart is still there. Who knows? By next Saturday, I mean, I may go out on the limb here and predict that there will be at least one new catcher for the Giants by next Saturday.
Yeah, I saw them pick him up yesterday. Of course, he played with the A's. He played with the Diamondbacks. I remember him. Pretty good hitter. Really don't remember too much defensively about him, but he always put the ball in play. A good receiver. That's what I think they're looking for. Just some different flavors behind the plate, and they're going to give everybody an opportunity. There's no doubt. We see Dubon in center field today for the first time. He played a little bit yesterday. He's now in center field. A couple little changes, but nothing impactful. I just believe they have to get to Urias quick, and if they can, that's going to help benefit getting those early runs. And I'm a big stickler about early runs, especially in a visiting ballpark. And as you said earlier, if they can come out with a split, that would be so much momentum going into Tuesday's opener.
Yeah, it would. It really would. Hey, who is that? I'm just thinking as you're talking and catchers, who is your favorite for framing pitches and, you know, the guy you said, okay, boy, I'm glad he's behind the dish?
Well, I'm right there with Crook. I had Bob Brenly, and Bob Brenly used to work counts all the time. I mean, it was such a mindset when, you know, the catcher's calling pitches and you're already thinking of the pitch before and he's putting it down. And it's so much a mindset with your catcher, and it's especially inside, outside, so you don't have to move your glove to change the direction of the pitch. Brenly was really good. Of course, I came up. My first catcher was Milt May, Uncle Milty, and Milt May was that captain of the team. You couldn't shake him off. He was that durable behind the plate. He wanted his signs, and when you shook him off, he didn't put a sign down, and you're like, what do you mean? And he went back to that original sign, and as a rookie,
I had to throw it, you know. And then in between innings, he'd sit down and go, Rook, you're not supposed to shake off. I'm calling the game. And here's Milt May, you know, been in the big leagues how many years? And I'm like, okay, you know. But Bill Fisher, I keep going back to Bill Fisher, my first pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, and he used to say, shake off the catcher anytime you want, because in the box score tomorrow, it's going to say winning pitcher Lasky or losing pitcher Lasky. It's not going to say Milt May in there. So it was pretty informative of your pitching coaches to say it's your direction, you're throwing a pitch, he's supposed to follow you. But, you know, it's always good to have pitcher-catcher combinations. It's good to talk in between innings. It's the mindset of the game to try to relax, kind of get on the same page. And always those pre-game meetings of how you're setting up hitters first time, second time, third time around. And hopefully we'll see Smiley get around a couple times. I'd love to see him get 4 or 5 innings in tonight, too. That would be ideal for the starting staff just to get some momentum with them.
Well, you know, it's funny that Heinemann said it yesterday when he was on the postgame show with Dave. He said, look, they give us a report. They give us a game plan every day. And if we execute this game plan, we've got a chance to beat the other team. So that's the analytics. That's what goes on. You know, it's not just the meeting, you know, the first day of the series and you go through, hey, you better not pitch to Hank Aaron. You know, they give you something to deal with. And that's the way they do it. Let me ask you this, the last question for you, and I appreciate you being on, and you'll have a great show tonight. And I'll ask you this, and you probably want to ask this to the audience. Well, depending what happens today and the way the game goes today, who knows? But what have you learned about the Giants, you think, in this first series with the Dodgers?
I think one of the big things is just watching how durable guys are, because he's moving guys around left and right with Solano. And, you know, you start looking at Flores, where they're trying to put him on the defensive side. Just to switch there, you saw Dubon play shortstop. Now he's playing center field. Yaz coming from center field to left field. That, I think that's the new era of Giants baseball and putting people in different positions. And of course, you know, we have to make sure that the mental side of that game, knowing what to do when the ball's hit to you. We saw 4 mental mistakes, saw 4 defensive mistakes, 2 yesterday again. 6 errors already in 3 games. So they just have to be a little more sure of themselves of what to do in different scenarios of the game, decisions that they need to make. That's one thing that I'm not used to. I'm used to seeing 8 guys play all the game and then you get a pinch hitter. So this is something that's change of baseball, as well as the bullpen. I know you and I talk about this and several other pitchers have talked about it. I just need to see the direction of that bullpen and the direction of the starting pitchers. Hopefully after this 4-game series, we'll see a rotation and we'll see certain guys coming in at certain parts of the game. That's going to tell us a lot about the strengths and the negatives of that bullpen. And that's what we're going to have to find out as media watching these games and knowing who's going to be the long man, middle man, who are the bridge guys to get to the closer. And I know Trevor got the save yesterday. Is he the guy? We don't know. And maybe somebody new today. But I think all the interchanges that Gabe Kapler's doing, those are all in-house decisions. And I think analytics is telling us a lot about these decisions. And with those decisions, we watch and find out if they're good or if they're bad. And that's how we decide on it.
Oh, very good. Well, you're going to have a great show tonight. Very well said. So appreciate you being on. And if you need me, you know where I am. So have a great show tonight. And we'll know a lot more by the time you and I talk on next Saturday.
Yeah, Marty, thanks again for having me join you again. A great pregame show, and I'm looking forward for the rest of your show. And hopefully the viewers will listen to me on the postgame show. We'll try to be creative and get some nice one-liners and some thoughts out there and get the fans to call in and get a spirited postgame. So thanks, Marty, again. And let's get another win, split this series.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. Thanks, Bill. That is Bill Lasky.
Thanks,
he'll do a great job tonight. He's got some good questions for the audience.